Marriage 101. Biblical marriage, this is the sermon in a sentence. Biblical marriage is to be honored, and marriage is enjoyable. That is, if you will, Ben's summation of that verse. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Now, the beauty of this context is that there were certain things going on that Paul was doing exactly what I'm doing today, which is why I'm doing this today. I'm trying to stay completely within the context of this passage. Paul was reestablishing the line on marriage because of what was going on in the culture. And he gives a blanket biblical statement: marriage is honorable in all. So for every facet in church, I do believe that this is a moral absolute. What is a moral absolute? A moral absolute is something that is true for all people, all places, at all times. You go out of these walls, and for sure if you go into the media, for sure if you go into the college setting, and even certainly public school and the such, that is going to be fought against vehemently. They want to believe that all truth is relative. It's situational and the such. It's up to you. And I would love for that to be true. It's just simply not true. Because you and I were created by a divine, supreme being. We call him God, Jehovah. And he designed you a certain way. And watch this. He loves you more than he loves anything and everything. And so he designed you a certain way. And therefore, the things that would destroy you, he put a circle around and said, do not hurt yourself. And those are moral absolutes. Things that are true for all people, all places, at all times. Now, I'm going to get to my notes, or this is going to be a three-part sermon. Point number one. Thank you for laughing. Reestablish the line on marriage. That's point number one. Now, I said this in first service. So I want to say it again. Young people, if you take from this that this is Brother Ben beating up on you and showering down on you, I've failed, because it's not that. It's not. This is me as your pastor, if you will, pastorally getting on my knees and begging you to hear me. And if you do not draw your line the same place that God's word, then I'm begging you, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Brad. Come talk to the deacons, Sunday school teachers, dad, mom, whatever the case may be. Because I could care less if I fulfill my pastoral opinion of how I ought to preach and I feel vindicated by screaming and shouting at you a biblical truth. I could care less about that. I want you to understand this is God's will for you. That's what I want you to understand. And can I tell you that if you don't look at some of these things a little crossways because of the world we're in, wow. I'm impressed with how you've been raised, if you will. I'm impressed with how you've been isolated. Because, folks, most of us at some point in time in our life have already looked crossways at some of these quote-unquote moral absolutes because the world challenges them on every level. And so I'm trying to meet you where you're at, but I got to love you enough to draw the lines where God draws it, because that's what he's going to bless. And as you and I lovingly hold these lines, the people that are hurt because of not holding the lines, the people that are deceived because they're told anything goes, the people that are crushed and devastated by the consequences of these sins will see you as a haven, as a bright light in the harbor, and they'll come to you and say, tell me what you got, I don't have it. Amen. And church, the only way for us to be the lighthouse is for us to draw the lines biblically where Jesus draws them. So reestablishing the line on marriage. One of our brigadier generals said 2 weeks ago, about the military's philosophy of what they do. I love this. Military action and war are just politics by another means. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but as a red-blooded, patriotic male, I like that. War and military action are just politics by another means. In other words, what you can't achieve through diplomacy and talking, you can through killing and destruction. We need to bring you over to our way of thinking. Pow, pow, pow. How do you feel now? Okay, I'm good. Type thing. And yes, we're being humorous here, but the reality is that he's dead on. But this is the other side of this story that I want you to see. As practical and supportive as we are as True Blue Americans, I want all of us to realize that this is true in the spiritual world as well and is being used effectively by our enemies and always will be if we stay ignorant to the attacks. The devil, the world, and our flesh has systematically and methodically attacked and destroyed the biblical foundations that this nation was founded on. So let me first appeal to our younger church members and attenders. There are negotiables, and there are non-negotiables. I am more than willing to compromise and move on from some of the negotiables. And I'm going to name them. Now watch this, older folks. If I haven't made you a little aggravated, I haven't done my job. Because I know, some of you still want to fight this battleground. Because I do. But I'm telling you, in this pastor's humble opinion, these are negotiables. Some of these, the battle line has long shifted, and you'll giggle at. Number one, long hair. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We lost that battle. But that's... Gavin over there in faith. Amen. Amen. Gavin, you get long hair and we will have a revival. I'm telling you right now. Let me see. Jacob, I think, is going to make it. Oh, Jacob. Your hair is touching your ear. Do you realize that when I was your age, that never happened? Because when my hair touched my ear, my mother grabbed my ear and carried me to the barber. And she went, and we were good. We were good. This hair never got down to here, cut type thing. Now watch this. Guys, I was raised that way. So I still like that look. I still like that look. But oh my goodness. Whether or not a person comes to church on whether their hair... No. That's a negotiable. Amen, church? Yeah, all right. So far we're doing good. Hang on. What's the next one? No shorts. Yeah, yeah, we got laughter all over. Sinners. Now, I was in Arkansas. Folks, I know you Missourians. I love you folks. I really do. But you guys think you have hot summers. You need to go in August in Arkansas and know what hell is. And you could go to Louisiana and get it worse type thing. Go into Texas and get it worse. I mowed yard. In blue jeans. And this was before Wrangler had come up with relaxed fit. My daddy didn't, some of your daddies didn't believe in shorts. When I got to college, guess what I did? As soon as I had $20, I went and bought me some shorts. And me and Dad, we got through it, but it wasn't really his favorite thing. But I had become a man, and I had become, if you will, my own man, and I could do what I wanted. Church, listen to me. I do believe that there comes a point that the length and the depth of your clothes can get immoral and immodest. Can I get a witness? Amen. And that is upon all of you as dads and husbands and wives to figure out, to seek it out. My standard may not be your standard, but you need to have a standard. And you need to lovingly take that line with your kids. But it's a negotiable when it comes to reaching people for Christ. How about this one? Dresses only for women. Oh, we in trouble. Watch this. Again, for those of you that are more comfortable in dresses, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But it should not affect what we feel about the spirituality of a woman if she doesn't wear a dress to church. Amen. Boy, it's getting tougher, I can tell. All right, so let's just go ahead and turn the corner. No dancing. Yeah, no dancing. I was raised, you didn't even get happy. You didn't tap your toe. No. Now, I personally, as a pastor, am not ready to, let's hold a dance for the church. I'm not ready to do that. I don't know that I'll ever be ready. But it's a negotiable. It is an absolute negotiable. What about this, guys? Tattoos. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Back in the day, well, we've got the story here. I believe, Jeff, it was you or was it Ryan? It was Jeff. The preacher who, bless his heart, before he got called to preach, he'd had some rougher days in the military, and he had a tattoo right here on his arm. And he was staying, because he was preaching revival at Friendship, and he was staying with the Reeds. Do you mind me telling this story? Hallelujah. He was 10, man. He was 10. But he had been raised right. And so this preacher came in a short sleeve to the... They even have a bar in their house. It's just a countertop. But it's a countertop bar in the Reed's house. And they fed breakfast there. And he's eating his breakfast. And he's got a tattoo. And when Jeff sees that, when he goes back to his room, Jeff looks at his mom and goes, "Mom, did you see that tattoo?" And Betsy's like, "Yes, Jeff. Shh. I bet he drinks beer too." I bet he drinks beer too. Now, it's a negotiable, folks. It's a negotiable. We need to be less concerned of what is placed on people's body and more concerned of what their heart's condition is. Amen. Amen. What about this? Get ready. Hats in a building. Oh. Now, church, listen to me. I don't see any hats on in here. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Uh-oh. But watch this. Andrew, has anybody got on to you today? Hallelujah. We're learning. We're learning. And listen, my sons can tell you that's something I still hold. And many in this church do. But it's a negotiable. And please, church, if a man or a woman walks in this building with a hat on, don't shower down on them. Build a relationship with them first. And if you get to a point that you love that person and they love you and the Holy Spirit still wants you to take that stand, then take it then. Win a right to have that discussion. And listen, I told the first service, please leave that to me in this building. Because a first-time visitor, I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm going to say, "Man, my name's Ben Kingston. Who are you?" type thing. After he becomes a member and baptized and discipled, then we may talk. You're going to get less looks if you'll just go ahead and take that off when you come in. I went to a restaurant. I was 30-some-odd years old. I had 2 children on the ground. I was a man. And I got up a little late. I had an appointment. And I put my hat on because I didn't have time for a shower. Folks, I'm the guy that takes my hat off immediately. Unless my hair is going to offend you worse without a hat. If it's going to offend you worse without a hat, I'll go ahead and I will allow my dad to do somersaults in his grave. And I'll wear a hat in a building. Because I'm trying to be nice to you by keeping you seeing this. Okay? So, the fella I was meeting, bless his heart, couldn't handle it. And he said, "Ben, take your hat off." And I said, "Look, man, I got up late. I didn't have a shower. This is a better look for me, I promise. Take your hat off." He was older than I was, and I had 2 choices, fight him or take my hat off. I took my hat off. The Bible says don't cause another brother to stumble. I took my hat off. But he didn't gain any points that day. I lost some respect that day. I'm a man, folks. I need to be treated with the same respect as other men are treated. And if someone has a reason to leave their hat on, we need to wait until we have a relationship with them to fight that battle. Amen, church? It's a negotiable. It's a negotiable. Now, kids, you're loving this because I'm whooping up on these older folks. Hang on. Hang on. Your time's coming. The list goes on. The list goes on negotiables. How about the version of a Bible? It's a sidetrack. There are good versions and there are bad versions. I don't believe there's one version above all. We can have that discussion, and I encourage you to come have that discussion with me if that's a non-negotiable for you. But we as a church have decided that's not going to be a non-negotiable. What are non-negotiables? So are you ready? We're fixing to jump off of the diving board. Non-negotiables. The murdering of an unborn child. Please hear me, kids. Young people. Young adults. The taking of an innocent life just because that life is in the womb. It's murder. Three states in our nation are trying to out-liberal each other and do and pass the most extreme abortion bill that has ever been seen, even to a point that a child after birth, if the intention was to abort that child and an oopsie happens and that child is born, as best as people can determine, one of those three states will still allow the mother or doctor to take the life of that child. Church, it's murder. Right. And if it's murder on the outside of the womb, it's murder on the inside of the womb.
Right.
And I'm begging you and I to, let's draw this line in the same place. Marriage between one woman and one man for life. No sex before marriage. No sex outside of marriage. Your gender is the gender that you were born with. Homosexuality being a sin and a choice. Jesus is the only way to heaven. The virgin birth of Christ, the Trinity, eternal security, the inerrancy of God's word. How about this one? Genesis 1 through 11 being the literal history of the creation of this planet. The word of God is our only rule for faith and practice. And there are other items I would put on this list, but I believe you get my point. I just do not want anyone to think I've given an exhaustive list. But these are non-negotiables. And again, church, I know you leave these four walls and those things are fighting words to some people.
Amen.
They are absolute abomination to some people. I get it. But we have got, again, to love God and His Word enough to see if this is not where we need to draw the line. And young people, I'm begging you, if you are struggling, I get it. I respect it. I understand it. Let's talk. Let's talk. Young people, you must wrestle with these subjects until you can come to a place that you can wholeheartedly agree with God. And with confidence say, this is how you see it, God, so therefore it is how I see it. And you must draw your line in the same place as your leaders have, or we will cease to be a scriptural New Testament church someday. I want to ask this question, young people. Is this thought, what I'm preaching, is this thought biblical? Yes. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmarks. Deuteronomy 6, now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it, that thou mightest fear Jehovah thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son. He goes on to tell them, it's called the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In church, he tells us in Deuteronomy through the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Moses, talk about them when you rise up, talk about them as you walk in the way, write them on the doorpost of your house. Do not neglect the teaching of God's word. We must. So yes, it is biblical. Thy son and thy son's son. Guys, it's not just important that you know it. It's important that you teach your kids. And that you teach your kids to teach their kids. That's so absolutely important that we do that. The parents are instructed to be discipled, and the children are instructed to obey the parents. So today, young people, I'm imploring you to give yourself to discipleship and biblical scholarship in these areas, specifically so that we can remain the scriptural New Testament church that God has called us to be, but generally so that we can stem and turn the tide of this evil liberal thought of anything goes. Number two, marriage is honorable. So here we are in this passage, Hebrews 13, 4. If you haven't been here until today, then please listen to February the 3rd Sunday morning message entitled Brother Love on BethelLoandale.com to hear the review, to get you caught up. We will give one sentence here in a way of review. Paul is writing to a group of Hebrews that are being pulled to go back to the old way of doing things, and he has given the doctrinal reasons as to why not to go back, and we are now into the practical carrying out of the day-to-day Christian living. On February the 3rd, we looked at loving your brothers and sister like they are brothers, but not like that they are brothers, but because they are brothers. To entertain the strangers they meet as possible angels and messengers of God. And now we are going into the home. Two simple phrases. Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled. Marriage definition. One woman, one man, married for life. God's design for marriage. Church, God's design for marriage is oneness. That you and your mate are on the same page. What is the potential of marriage? Two complete Christians becoming one flesh. One on all levels. Children, arrows in the quiver. A picture of Christ in his church to the world. A haven on this earth. Gospel lighthouses. Discipleship hubs, mentors. How do we accomplish this? Ephesians 5:21, husband, servant leader, washing through water by the word. Husbands, when was the last time you set your wife down and just read God's word over her? Husband, loving your wife like Christ loved the church. Husbands, when was the last time you were willing to die for your wife? Pursuit in every area. Men, Brad and I pray for you on a regular occasion to pursue your wives and for your wives to be receptive. Wives, humble submission, respect for his leadership. So a husband's love for his wife and a wife's respect for her husband is supposed to reflect Christ's love for the church and the church's respect for Christ. Now, that's an overview of biblical marriage according to Ben Kingston. But what is this passage specifically saying about marriage? And it completely fits this narrative. And so this day and age, yes, folks, I need that page, babe. She saw me looking. I timed it. I know we're out of time, but relax. Did any of you put a roast in this morning? God will look over it, I promise. That's right. He's marinating it. It's all in juices. It's going to be the best roast you've ever had. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Listen. God honored marriage by establishing it. Jesus honored marriage by performing his first miracle at a wedding. The Holy Spirit honored marriage by using it to picture the church in the New Testament. The whole Trinity testifies that marriage is honorable. No person, therefore, is justified in disparaging marriage. Scripture gives at least three reasons for marriage. One is the propagation of children. That means having children. At creation, mankind was commissioned to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Marriage is also provided as a means of preventing sexual sin. Because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Paul advises and then goes on to counsel the unmarried and widows to marry if they do not have self-control. Marriage is also provided for companionship. God said it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Marriage can be held in honor in many ways. One is by the husband's being the head. God is glorified in a family where the husband rules. Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman. The husband is the head of the wife, and Christ also is the head of the church. Another way is a corollary of the first, namely, that wives be submissive to their husbands, as Sarah was to Abraham. A third way marriage is honored is being regulated by mutual love and respect. And to me, this is where it all comes together. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. the concern of both husband and wife should center on the welfare and happiness of the other, on what can be given rather than on what can be obtained. We're going to close it down with this because this has obviously become a two-part series. These big-time TV guys do this all the time, and they always have massive crowds when they do it. We're going to talk about sex next week. Go tell your friends. Let's fill this joint up. Thanks for the laughter. Hear me. I got your attention now, don't I? The first 10 years of my marriage, I did the exact opposite of that. First 10 years of my marriage, I fought for my way, my opinion, my everything. I was about as selfish as you can imagine. And then as my marriage was circling the drain, and this is my opinion, and what I'm telling you is that Dawn and I weren't at the counselor and we weren't at the divorce lawyer. I'm telling you that the devil had us going that way. And I realized that it was me. And I've heard Brad say the same, and I've heard many of you say the same. The issues and the problems of my marriage are 99.9% me. And God started working on me, and I started letting him, and he started changing me. Now, this is going to sound like Brother Ben's patting himself on the back. I'm patting my hand on the back of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brother Ben did something that he does about once a year at Branson. And I don't know why I'm talking in third person, but just to go with it. Let's just go with it. I bought some shoes. And I bought some shoes that didn't look redneck. Yeah, they didn't look tough. They make you wonder. But I bought them. You know why I bought them? They were cheap. And how does the Baptist bird go? Cheap, cheap. I bought them. Well, you may or may not know that I tried to do a little bit of maple syrup. That's a whole nother story. What's it been doing for the last 4 or 5 years? Raining, snowing, and all that stuff. Mud everywhere. So on Friday, I had went through 3 pairs of jeans, boots, and these new shoes. And there was a mud path in the mud room at the house. There was a mud path. The wife walks in and goes, she looks at my shoes and goes, "Your new shoe." She had a long day. She got in bed before I did. I finished up what I was doing about 10:30. I came in and the Holy Spirit said, "You know what will bless that woman?" And I thought about saying, "I'm not listening." Because I knew what he was fixing to say. "Why don't you clean those brand new shoes and then mop the floor?" And I'm tired too. And I said, "Yes, sir." Clean those shoes, and I mopped the floor. And you know what the greatest thing was? That next morning, we wake up and she says, "Well, I need to go." Nope, done it. I think she thought I got saved again. Because I don't do stuff like that very often. I was pursuing her. Church, I was pursuing her. And I was putting her needs above mine. Church, it works every time. And it works on both sides. Amen, women? It works on both sides. It does. When you pursue your spouse, good things happen. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Thank you for your patience. I know what you're thinking. Boy, you hadn't preached in 3 weeks. You just had to get it all in and went, well, no. I hope you understand by the subject matter. This is about as important as it gets. Church, we're hurting as a nation. And the reason we're hurting as a nation is because we have left God's ways. And as, you know, Alex de Tocqueville, if I'm saying his name right, 200 years ago when he wanted to see why America was great, he went back to his home country and said, "The reason America is great is because America is good. And the reason America is good is because her pulpits are aflame with righteousness." Church, we got to get back to that. Thank you. And I'm begging you. I'll buy the coffee. I'll buy your cheeseburger, whatever the case may be. Let's sit down and talk if any of this did not sit well. Let's sit down and talk. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to do your will and way today. Bring glory to your name in this service and this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's come. If you did not know Christ, come. If you want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar, come. Whatever the case may be. Thank you.